You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now to Walker in behind the net. 2:05 to go. For all intents and purposes, we're in overtime right now. Svechnikov back in along the wall. A shot. They score. Svechnikov got a deflection in front with 1:59 to go. And Carolina has taken a 2-1 lead here in Game 5. Svechnikov from bottom right circle has given Carolina the lead.
Yeah, with 1:59 left in the game, Barry Zwerluga wrote in his column in the Washington Post following the game last night, quote, "There's nothing quite like the quiet of a jammed arena when the opposing team scores late in an elimination game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's a stillness that belies the thousands who had just moments before belted out Metallica and boisterously raised the din to deafening," closed quote. There is, just bear with me here, because I know that last night hurt for many of you. There is something about winning on the road in the playoffs in every sport. There's just something that is dramatic, more dramatic, about winning on the road and winning on the road late. Whether it's in football, whether it is in baseball with a top of the 9th home run, or an extra inning top of the 12th home run, or in basketball in a game 7 on the road, or in hockey when you get a late goal on the road in a game that eliminates the home team. Good morning, everybody. Joe Beninati in 20 minutes to wrap up not only last night's game, not only the series, but the season as well. Ben Standig will join us a little later on. I mentioned on yesterday's show that one of the things for me in terms of a takeaway from the schedule was net rest days, and Washington was going to be facing four teams coming off a bye. And so somebody did the work on the net rest days, and it's not good for Washington. Doesn't mean that the season's over. No. It just means they will have a disadvantage in terms of rest compared to many of their opponents. All right, the Caps, they're out in 5 games. Short and sweet and pretty conclusive, really. You know, the Caps did go out fighting last night. You know, you can't say that in their last opportunity in this series, they went out without resistance. They actually out-attempted Carolina in the game, 51-49. So that was a massive change from the first 4 games. Much of it coming in what turned out to be a very desperate third period attempt to get the go-ahead goal, which never came. So I'm not about to do the thing that would be super cliche, I think, for this time of year. You know, Caps end of season before maybe a round in which they were expected to advance. I mean, that has become sort of a rite of spring over the years. I mean, what is it now? 20 out of the 21 during the whatever it is during the Ovechkin era, that there's been one out of all of them that they've advanced further than what they were expected to advance. I'm not going to do the thing where I say they went out meekly. You know, they went out without a legitimate fight. I thought, even though the series was a 5-game series, I thought they put up resistance last night. I thought Logan Thompson, you know, he may have given up a cheap goal here or there, a bad goal here or there. But for the most part, I thought he kept him in the game last night, as did, by the way, his counterpart, Anderson, the goaltender for Carolina. Carolina was just better in this series. And I can't tell you that their talent is better or their scheme is better or the coaching is better. But I watched every single second of every single game in this series. And to any sports fan, it was obvious that the better team won this series. And they were the better team for the significant majority of the action. And I've heard, you know, oh, well, this was a terrible matchup for the Caps. This was the matchup they didn't want. I'll be honest with you, I didn't hear that before the series. I heard that Carolina was good and that stylistically they played a little bit differently, but, you know, that the Cap, and they were favored. You know, turns out odds makers shorting the Caps heading into this postseason, shorting them heading into this series. Turns out they were right. Carolina, by the way, was a sizable favorite last night on the road in Game 5. They were minus 180 last night. But I've heard the, you know, just a bad matchup. They would have done much better against almost any other team in the East except for Carolina. I personally did not hear a lot of that before the series began. Maybe I just missed it. I just think stylistically, maybe that there's some truth to it. I don't know. Carolina dominated a lot of the stats in this series that I guess are important. Puck possession, offensive zone possession, shot attempts. You know, we had Alan May on the show the other day, and Alan May said what has to change is they've got to send the puck to the net over and over again. It's what Carolina does, and you end up with a couple of goals that you're not even expecting to get, and that's what Carolina got at the end there. That wasn't really a legitimate opportunity. He just sent it towards the net. Little bit of screen, little bit of sight loss, boom. It's in the back of the net, and it's over. It is, though, this thing with this particular team in our city where they have come up short so much over the years. I mean, great regular seasons followed by massive playoff disappointments. Now, this may be different in that the season itself wasn't expected. You know, no one was really expecting this season to happen. They ended up with the best record in the East. I mean, I don't know how you Caps fans, and I'll ask Max here in a moment, I don't know how you guys would describe it and talk about it because, you know, the old saying, you know, don't miss the journey. You know, the journey sometimes is the best part rather than the final result. I don't know. I'm into championships personally. But I can appreciate the journey of a long season, and especially in a sport that is so, so hit and miss, you know, mysterious, random, whatever you want to say about it in the postseason. Rarely do the two best teams in the regular season meet in the Stanley Cup Finals. Rarely does the best team in the regular season win the whole thing. It's just the way the sport works. It comes down to a puck off a post, a puck off a pad, a puck off a skate blade, a puck that just bounces oddly. Look, the Caps goal last night, Beauvillier, that goal was a little bit fortunate. That was just a bad bounce off the boards that ended up right by the goalies, right by the post and the goaltender. So you can focus on all of the failures, and let's face it, you know, first year of Ovechkin out in the first round, second year of Ovechkin out in the second round, third year out in the first round as a President's Trophy winning team, next year out second round, next year out second round, next year out first round, 2015.
The puck drops. It is controlled by the Capitals inside their own zone, and there will be a handshake line tonight. The Carolina Hurricanes have come to Washington and closed out the series here in Game 5. Final score, 3-1.
John Walton last night with the final call. Joe Beninati coming up. Sorry about that. We had a major power surge in the building. But we are back. And look, I was saying that it's very easy to get comfortable this time of year and just say they choked again. They're out early again. They fell short of where they were supposed to be by seeding again. Because really, in the Alex Ovechkin era, they've only been past the second round one time, and that was 2018 when they won the Cup. And of the other 15, you know, opportunities, they probably reached the second round when they were supposed to reach the second round. Or, you know, you're talking about maybe half those times. And then beyond that, they were supposed to go further half of those times. Look, the journey itself, the 82 games And year in and year out, with the exception of 2 years during the Ovechkin era, qualifying for the postseason is an accomplishment. But I think most sports ultimately come down to what did you do in the postseason? And the Caps are out again. I don't know. After the first round, I think there was this sense of they had to get out of the first round for the first time since 2018. They did that. But then to be truly beaten, not without effort, not going out meekly, not without a fight, but to be beaten by what was clearly a better team in five games, I wonder what Caps fans think. Max, you are a Caps fan. I know it's disappointing today.
It is.
But
it hurts.
It was this a season in which you would, you know, describe it as a good season, a successful season, or not?
It's interesting because Giannis had a good quote a couple years ago about us having successful seasons, and it doesn't have to end in a championship in order for a season to be successful. This was definitely a successful regular season for the Caps. Ted Starkey had a really good tweet. He said, this year's Caps were a unique blend of exceeding expectations, defying logic, with history mixed in. You won't see this often. So, and he's absolutely right. Like, the Ovechkin goal chase, the unity that this team played with, like, the friendship in the locker room, all of that was so special this season. And it's not wasted, but it is disappointing, especially when you get, like, circle skated around you for the better part of five games. Like, the third period last night, they tried their ass off. I credit to them. They played like a team with their season on the line and just had one bad break really late in the game. Like, you could watching this team for 20 years, I could feel it the entire time. Like, I
felt it coming?
Yeah, I was expecting disaster the entire third period. Yeah. Like, when those chances weren't going in, it was just like, I've seen this before. I know they're going to get one late, and I'm going to sprawl out of my floor and lay here for a minute and take a deep breath. But it's still a successful regular season, not a successful playoffs. I had a little bit higher hopes for this team, but Carolina was a bad draw. It's tough going up against.
Did you feel that way before the series started?
So the thing about, like, we knew that they were fast. We knew that they were small. We knew that they were young. But I expected the Caps to be able to handle it a little bit better than they did. And because, like, game two, they did pretty well. They were playing physical. They were doing exactly what they needed to do. They weren't giving them time to breathe, room to move, anything to get a clean look on Logan Thompson. And they got away from that game plan. The Lars Eller line through four games was not very good. Moving McMichael.
Well, he was out last night.
Exactly. Moving McMichael into center last night, I think, was a really, really. They should have done it earlier, but they didn't. And that's, you know, something that Carberry's going to have to look at going into the offseason. It's just, it sucks that this is how it ended, but this was kind of. You could see it coming for the past couple of days.
Look, last night's game, it was interesting because I have talked many times over the years about the feeling in that building in sort of an elimination game.
Yeah.
Because so many of the fans there have been there, done that. You know, not a lot of the players on the team necessarily have been through all of the heartbreaking home elimination losses, many of them coming in seventh in deciding games. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel that way watching it. Last night was the first time in watching the five games in this series where I felt like during the game, Carolina got that first goal and I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, Stahl got that first goal, and I'm like, that's, you know, you want to get the first goal in a series, especially in a series in which, you know, both teams, but the Caps specifically, are struggling to score. The Caps had seven total goals in a five-game series. I mean, I can do that analysis. It's not enough. Five games, seven goals is 1 point. You know, basically like 1.4 goals per game. That's not enough. You know, I know Logan Thompson gave up some cheapies or some bad or soft goals, however you hockey people describe them, but he gave up two goals last night.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Yep.
You know, you got to score more than 1.4 per game, but I didn't feel watching last night's game. I didn't feel like the Caps were laying an egg, that they were.
No.
Last night felt like the most competitive of the games, and I felt like they were going to win it. And then I kept thinking to myself, man, hockey's weird. You win, and it's 3-2, and all of a sudden, just 60 minutes later, the pressure's back on the other team that's got the lead to end it at home on Saturday night. I think that's when the game would have been, on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But they didn't get it done, and they had opportunities, man, plenty of opportunities, and so did Carolina. And the Caps got that go-ahead goal that they were clearly offsides on. You know, that was a good pickup, I guess, by the Carolina bench, because the broadcast, you know, Kenny Albert and company didn't really pick it up right away. They were like, what's going on? Maybe they're looking at something. And then they found it, you know. So that was... That has to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but that has to be challenged, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They have coaches like upstairs looking at monitors and all that.
But that's not something that somebody else is going to come in and say, that goal's not allowed. We picked it up from New York.
Carolina would have to look at it and challenge it since they didn't call the offsides on the play.
Right. And that felt really like a gut punch in the moment,
absolutely.
You know, because, in watching the TNT broadcast with Kenny Albert on the call, he said something at some point, and I forget who the analyst was on the game. I don't know. Brian Bouchard. Is that it? Brian Boucher. There you go. Brian Boucher was on the call with him, and they both kind of said the same thing that I was feeling watching the game. And that is, whoever gets this first goal in the third period is going to win the game. And once you got late into the period, there were some incredible saves by Logan Thompson. Incredible saves. I mean, Carolina had some, I saw, where did I see this stat?
The wide open net. He saved it with like the butt
that was
of his
that
stick.
Was amazing.
It was
now,
insane.
It was a bad shot attempt, too.
Yeah.
You know, the puck kind of got away from whoever that was. But so the Caps had in the third period, they had 13 5-on-5 high danger chances, which were the most for them in a period in the series. You know, they were playing desperately and they were, you know, creating chances and kind of playing the way maybe they should have played the entire series. The problem was Carolina had 14 of those 5-on-5. High danger chances. The power play just was never there for them in this particular series. It wasn't there for the Montreal series. By the way, go ahead and reach out to Joe. Joe's ready to go. And just let me know when you have him on the phone. The Caps, remember, were one for their first 10, I believe, in the Montreal series before it kind of came alive late in the series. But I think I saw this stat. They're like the third or fourth worst power play so far in the postseason, but the worst in the second round. And I know that Carolina, and I didn't know this before, I know that they had a very good penalty kill unit during the season, and I thought they did a great job. We got Joe. All right. Joe Beninati is with us. Of course, the voice of the Washington Capitals on Monumental Sports Net. You know, when I texted Joe to ask him, he said, hopefully we are preparing and talking about a game six. And I just said, Joe, I felt like watching last night's game, I didn't feel like the pressure and the tenseness of, oh, it's going to go badly, like it happens all the time in seventh games at home over the years. I felt like they were playing their best game of the series and that they just needed one to go in and they'd win it. How did you feel about the overall game last night?
Yeah, I think my thoughts are close to the same, Kevin. I said this, that in the first four games of the series, I thought the right team won. And in game five, I wasn't sure that the right team won the game. Washington deserved better than that. But that just sounds like, again, it sounds like you're whistling past the graveyard. They didn't score goals. And this just wasn't a second-round problem. This was evident at times in the Montreal series. It was evident in the last 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season. The offensive boil that they were on in the first 3-4 months of the season was amazing, and a lot of us questioned whether or not it was sustainable. Their shooting percentage, which you don't often refer to quite a bit in hockey, their shooting percentage was off the charts, led the NHL for the longest time, and you could routinely count on them for four or five goals. That wasn't the case in the last 2 months of the season, this month of the playoffs included. And for whatever reason, and you could start with Frederik Andersen, you could start with Carolina's defense, they weren't able to score many goals in this series, nowhere near enough to threaten a team like Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, that's... No, 7 goals, 1.4 goals per game is not enough, even I know that.
Nope.
In a best of 7. Why weren't they able to score more? Was it more about Andersen or more about what Alan May said to me yesterday or the day before, which is they're not doing what Carolina is doing. They're not attempting enough shots, even though they did last night.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an age-old question now, you know, and we've discussed it. I think you and I have discussed it on the air as well. Quality versus quantity. And, you know, Rod Brind'Amour will bristle when you bring this up, because Rod thinks that all of us in the media are saying all Carolina does is get it in the zone and throw everything at the net. Willy-nilly, it doesn't matter, just send it to the net. I don't know that they do that either, but they have control of the puck, or they have possession time, or they have O-zone, the puck in the offensive zone, enough that they're able to generate so many opportunities to shoot on goal that they take them. And analytically, you can break these numbers down any way you'd like, but 9 times out of 10, when you're playing Carolina, they have the puck more than you. The puck is more in your defensive zone than theirs. And likely, and it was the trend throughout the season, Kevin, they generate more offensive shots than you do. And then everybody does the math and says, okay, the more the puck goes to the net, the better opportunity there is to score a number of goals. Some teams believe in quality shots more so than quantity, so they wait for better opportunities to get more of these so-called high-danger chances. The Caps didn't generate a lot of high-danger chances in the series against Andersen and the Canes, but I believe he stopped every single one of them. And that's incredible. He's very good. Frederick's very good. He has a reputation of being very good until injuries beset him. He's been injured again this year. It was a knee. The year prior, it was a blood clotting issue. But he's talented, and he's big, and he's got a very good defensive concept in front of him. When he was called upon to make key saves in this series, he did it every single time. And I keep going back to the 2 games in Raleigh. And game 3, to me, Kevin, was the best game the Caps played in the entire playoffs. The first period, I should say, was the best I have seen the Caps in the entire playoffs, Montreal included. And that would be the only other thing close would have been game 4 against Montreal in Montreal when Wilson throws that massive hit. And they scored 4 times in that period. The first period of game 3 in Raleigh, I thought they had the formula. And in the first 5 minutes, wouldn't you know it, Andersen made at least 3 good saves. Oh, Joe, what do you mean? They could easily have been up 3-0, Washington, that is. And we might be singing a different tune, and we might be looking at a game 6. They didn't convert. And more often than not, if you're going to ask me what it was, that why Washington scored, I think it was 7, and one of those was an empty netter. Why did the Caps only score that few goals? Carolina's pressure game forced them out of their normal poise. They didn't have the same composure. They didn't have the same poise. They didn't have the same finish. And a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of it has to do with the way Carolina swarms on defense and pressures on defense. They make you uncomfortable. They never stop.
Yeah, and they really seem to get sticks on pucks consistently more in this series than the Caps did. There's a couple of specific things that I wanted to ask you about from the game last night. The offsides on the Roy goal that gave him a 2-1 lead.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to this. Is that just bad luck, or is that a mistake not to be clearly on sides when the puck went into the zone?
What? No, the game is so fast, and things happen in a blink, and it was clearly offside. The player was completely in across the line before the puck gets... The puck's not in the zone in that instance until it's all the way across the blue line. So they had multiple looks showing a clear offside. a lot of the times players will realize, ooh, I'm close here. Let me drag that trail skate, and you'll see them almost go into like a dance move to try and slow down and delay and drag a skate to keep onside. It happens so quickly. It's just a matter of timing. And in that case, bad timing, bad luck. And then seconds later, Matt Roy's pumping one past Anderson that, again, could have easily changed the complexion of the game. I thought Washington played extremely well last night. I thought the late goal, the series-clinching goal, was a gut punch. I fully expected Washington to win the third period, and if not, take care of things in overtime. It didn't happen, and it was so swift and so sudden, it was a kick in the gut.
The player that was most noticeable to me all night long for the Caps, I thought he was really good, and I don't have any of the advanced stats numbers, but I'm just curious. Number six, Chychrun, the defenseman, it was so obvious that he was having a great game. Did anybody play better than he did?
No, not last night, no. I mean, that was a man possessed.
Yeah.
And fans get to know Jacob Chychrun this year, and fans obviously recognize the Capitals made him an extremely well-paid and long-term part of their future. And for good reason, you could see why they made that investment last night, especially in the second period. Kevin, his play in the second period, he was breathtaking. I mean,
yeah.
Cale Makar out in Colorado, Zach Werenski in Columbus, and Jacob Chychrun, to me, were the three best offensive defensemen this season. The things Makar does in Denver are extraordinary. There were a lot of flashes of Makar last night from Chychrun in that second period especially. He commanded the puck. He went end-to-end with it. He showed you his speed, his shooting ability, his power. First of all, he's a phenomenal athlete, like an extraordinary athlete. Doc Walker would call him a specimen. He is a specimen, and he has a great mind for the game, I think. His attitude is terrific. His teammates warmed to him very quickly this year. I'm excited to see where Jacob can go over the next few years. He's a longtime Cap now, thanks to the contract that he earned and signed this season. But that game last night, and especially that middle period, woo, that was impressive.
Logan Thompson. He ultimately, when all was said and done, gave up just two goals and had some unbelievable saves in the game. But I know that hockey people say, yeah, but the two goals that he gave up, especially the last one, those are cheap, soft, bad, whatever adjective you want to use to describe them. I'll let you describe his performance last night and for the series.
Yeah, I know he's angry with himself, and professional players, outstanding talents, they have enormous pride, and Logan's pride was hurt last night. He said so in the post game. He admitted that he wished he were better in the situations where Carolina scored. First of all, you know, those other guys on the other team, they're on scholarship too, Kevin. They're really good. And Jordan Staal has made a longtime career of playing extremely well, extremely strong, and when he gets the opportunities, he can bury. That was a beautiful shot. The first goal, I thought, Logan is, again, I'm not going to get in his head. I'm not going to play goalie for you. I'll let Logan settle it when he speaks and addresses the media further if he were to choose. But to me, it looks like Logan is preparing for a shot to the short side there from the bad angle, and Staal beats him to the far side. It was a very well-placed shot. Logan will tell you, and I'm sure, again, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm putting words into his mouth, he would prefer to have played that one differently and have made that save. The game-winning goal is the one where you sit there and go, okay, what did you see? And when he explained it in the post-game media scrum, he lost sight of it when it went wide. And I was addressing it with Alan May and Bruce Boudreau and Alexa Landestoy on Monumental Sports Network last night. To me, it looked like he was set. He was ready. Something happened. He lost sight. He comes out of his crouch. By the time he gets back, he gets caught in between. And to be perfectly honest, and this is going to be again, oh, here's Joe with the Caps colored glasses again. 9 times out of 10, Kevin, that Svechnikov shot, especially in this series where teams are blocking shots like nuts,
yeah.
those shots don't go through, much less go in cleanly. That one went in cleanly. The Carolina Hurricanes were really good in the series, deserved to move on, deserved to win in five. But as usual, once again, hockey shows you. You can play well, and if luck is in your favor, you can go a long way. That is just good fortune right there. From that angle, he's just throwing it to the net and hoping. And again, 9 times out of 10, somebody gets in the way of that, it hits off of somebody's butt, and it's a harmless play. That one just happens to go cleanly through. Logan doesn't see it, doesn't respond till it's too late, and it goes past him. And then you're like, wow. You know, a series-clinching goal, a game-winning goal, you want those to be quote-unquote good goals, no-doubt goals. That was one where you're from that angle, you're like, that's going to go in? And Logan is angry with himself.
Well, the overtime goal in game one felt the same way.
A little bit, yeah. Again, screen, where he doesn't pick it up. And again, people will sit there, and I know Alan May insists upon this. Okay, you took the shot. Again, a lot of people won't take that Svechnikov shot last night because it's from so bad of an angle. A lot of people won't necessarily take the Slavin shot in game one from the point. Not much developing there in front. But Carolina's game plan is to get it to the net and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, good things happened on those two.
Yeah, this sport is just, if you get it anywhere near it, things happen. Crazy
there's whimsy
things
involved
happen.
In it, definitely. There's definite whimsy involved in it, no doubt.
Whimsy's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Joe Beninati, of course, the voice, longtime voice of the Cavs. All right, before we talk about what's next, let's just talk about the Ovechkin era, because this conversation comes up every year. I mean, it's almost like, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it's almost become a rite of spring where the Caps season ends prematurely based on what most people thought they had the potential to do. It's, 15 out of the 16 playoff seasons other than 2018. I know some of those second round appearances were against better teams. Fair enough. But can you enjoy the journey? Can you look at the season? You're a part of the journey. Look at the season and say, no, man, in this sport, you win that many games. But by the way, throw in the whole sideshow, which was an historic one of chasing down Gretzky's record. But, when you look back on it, is it a disappointing season? Is it a successful season? How would Joe Beninati, who was a part of the broadcast journey through 82 and 10 afterwards, 92 total games, how would you describe it?
Kevin, I think to answer your question, you need to go back and look at it from an 8-9 month rollback. So take it all the way back. And when Chris Patrick and Brian McClellan add the players that they add in the offseason, at that time, heading into October, the start of the season, the 50th anniversary season for the Capitals, at that time, most people who were in the know, most people who would be qualified to offer an opinion as to whether or not the Capitals were even a playoff team would have said to you, peripheral, maybe 7-8 seed, likely not to get into the postseason. So if that is the launch point, then I would have to say this was an incredible season. They did what they did. They ran away with the East. They ran away with the Metro Division. They were in large part in the conversation with Winnipeg for a President's Trophy throughout the campaign when most people didn't think they were even a playoff team. They had 50-plus wins again. I want to say Ovechkin's been a part of that 6 times. This was overall unexpected. Then, Bo, when you get to February and March and April, and this is the gist of your question, now you are the team you are. And you look like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And I'll be perfectly honest, at the beginning of the playoffs, Kevin, my assumption was that they would get to round 3. I thought they would get through the first 2 rounds. I thought they would run into trouble likely with Florida. And it didn't happen that way. They fell short of that. But more importantly, Spencer Carberry, to his team, will tell you that they dream really big. They're not dreaming of a second-round appearance. They're dreaming about going all the way. And this team looked like it had. When you looked at this team in January, February, you'd sit there and go, whoa, I know they're only, halfway through the season, 60% through the season, but, man, they're good. And they look like they can hang with anybody.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, for whatever the reason was, I keep pointing back to the offense fizzled. The offense went away. Where did it go? That's ultimately, was it fool's goal? Was the first 3-4 months of the season and the high shooting percentage and all the 4-5s and 6-goal games, was that fool's goal? I don't think so. I thought they played very, very well, and they put pressure on other teams' defenses, made life miserable for goalies, and they were racking up goals like crazy. They didn't have that in the last 2 months. I wonder where it went. Or did just teams make adjustments? Did goalies get better? Did luck run out? You tell me. But I have to consider, when you go back to the start of the season and what was the quote-unquote supposed projection for this team, nobody projected them to win the East. They did that. They won 50-plus games. I think they're thinking that, okay, future's even brighter. And you mentioned the Ovechkin saga, the quest, the chase. That took a lot out of the club, no doubt. And it was a brilliant individual achievement for one that we'll never, ever forget. They were able to have enough time, I believe. Maybe this is not the case, and maybe we'll learn more on the exit interviews and whatever it is that they do with regard to the press conferences postseason. I thought they had enough time between 8.95 and the playoffs to make a mental reset to get themselves back in gear for the team goals. I don't know if they were able to achieve that. They didn't do that in terms of getting to a third and fourth round. I thought they could make the third round, Kevin. That was my estimation, yeah. And they fell a little bit short of that. But going back to the beginning of the season, no. And all the way around, and this is going to sound like the company man again, but all the way around this 50th anniversary season, for the organization, for the network, for Monumental Sports Network, I couldn't be more proud of the way the organization showed itself in this 50th anniversary celebration from an alumni relations standpoint and from, on the TV side, how we chronicled this entire season and this great chase. For that, I'm extremely proud.
All right, what's next? Let's start with eight. Will he be back? He's under contract for one more year. What's your guess? He still has number 900 would be a big buildup early in the season next October.
Absolutely. And I, again, without having spoken to Alex, I did not speak to him after the game last night. I have not spoken to him about the subject. Let's put it this way. The only way that I thought potentially Ovechkin would retire after this season would be 895 and a cup. He got 895. He didn't win the cup. I think he comes back next year with 1 year on the deal, and that's the quote-unquote farewell tour for the game's greatest goal scorer of all time. I fully expect him to play next year. Now, that's just a decision for Alex and his family to make, but I think he will come back.
How did you think he played in this series?
He was what I expect from Alex at this point in his career, and against speed teams such as Carolina. We're talking, I think, again, I'm not sure there's a team any faster than Carolina in the East. Jersey, when they're completely healthy, is extremely fast. The tempo of that series is not best suited for a 39-year-old Alex Ovechkin. So he did, and he powered his way through as best as he can. But like so many of the Caps, you get overwhelmed by that speed. It forces you to accelerate your thinking, accelerate your movements, and sometimes that poise and composure leaves you. I know he popped a power play goal. You come to expect that from him. And I know Alex values his play 5-on-5 and wants to deliver more than he did.
What else next year? Who's back? What does this team look like? What does it need to add in the offseason?
Well, let's see. As far as expiring contracts are concerned, I thought Anthony Beauvillier really made a good impression.
Yeah.
And at $1.25 million on an expiring contract, I wouldn't be surprised if the Caps talk to Anthony about being a part of their future. Andrew Mangiapane at $5.8 million on an expiring contract. That's one that's going to be interesting. I wonder where they're going to go there. Taylor Radish, $1 million on an expiring contract. I like that fourth line a lot. They went back to it. A combination that's worked well for them, Duhaime, Dowd, and Radish. But we'll see there. There are probably, in the case of Mangiapane and in the case of Radish, and in the case of Lars Eller, there are probably candidates that are being considered from the American Hockey League's Hershey Bears to take those roles. There are also some bright prospects on the future, young kids, 18, 19-year-old kids, who are likely to factor into that decision. But, you know, Lars was taken off of the rink last night.
Yeah.
Connor McMichael subbed in as a third-line center. Connor McMichael is not a third-line center. He's a top-six guy when he's at his best. And let's see where they position. The good thing is, it sounds like I've got a lot of people to consider for a 51 team and an 111, whatever it was, point team. There's a lot going on there. That defense is completely signed, Kevin.
Everybody, what would you say, though, is their number one need to go out and get, you know, in perhaps free agency?
I would find a scorer for the third line. We kept coming back consistently saying, geez, I wish there was more for Mangiapane and Eller, and whether it be Leonard or Radish. We need more on that third line. There's got to be more of a oomph, because you've got, again, if McMichael and Protas can deliver consistently, if you're going to get high 20s, mid-20s from McMichael, and it, like you did this year, 30 from Protas, which I think makes him, bar none, the most improved player in the league. I don't know if I can sit there and tell you, yeah, Protas is going to get me 30 next year. I don't know about that. That was an amazing season for Alexei, but they need to fatten up. They need to thicken the offensive, in my opinion, the offensive goal total from the second and third line. So I'm looking for a quality mid-20s goal scorer that I can position somewhere else in that second and third line. They're out there. There's money to spend. The cap is increasing. And just judging by last season, what Brian McClellan and Chris Patrick did in the offseason, they're going to make the right choices and help this team improve.
I'm going to miss these conversations. I actually like this time of year because I love talking to people like you. Oh, one more quick question for
please.
You. Totally different subject. Maryland or Georgetown in the lacrosse, you know, quarterfinal game on Sunday in Annapolis?
Yeah, I'm hoping to be there. That's going to be a great doubleheader. It's Maryland, Georgetown,
Penn State, Notre Dame. Yeah.
My God. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a nice day. I wouldn't be surprised if they have 30,000 people out there. It's a nice, beautiful facility to watch a game. I think when you give head coach John Tillman of the Terrapins a week to prepare, they'll get it done. He and his staff, they're master tacticians. They've got enough talent to do it. I think it's a really tight game. Georgetown is playing extremely well at the right time. I saw Maryland stub their toe in the Big Ten tournament final. I think they got back on the beam last week. And again, with a week to prepare, I like Maryland in a super close game.
Thanks for doing this. I love talking to you. Enjoy the off season, and I'm sure we'll be talking before the next one begins. Appreciate it.
Anytime you like, Kevin. I always enjoy the conversation. Thanks.
Joe Beninati, everybody, on X, on Twitter, at JoeBPXP, play-by-play. Great NBA game last night. Forced a game 7 in Denver. More on that next.
All right, Caps, fortunately, fall to Carolina 3-1. They get bounced from the playoffs in 5 games. First time they've been eliminated in round 2 since 2017. The Nats, they fall 5-2 in a midday matchup versus the Atlanta Braves. The Nats will continue their road trip tonight for rivalry weekend just up the street versus a struggling Baltimore Orioles club. Nats on deck is at 6:35 right after Grant and Danny on the Fan. Nuggets, they beat the Thunder 119-107 to force game 7. 3 players with 20-plus points on the Nuggets. Jokic had 29-14-8. Christian Brown with 23-11-5. And Jamal Murray, 25-8-7. PGA Championship is currently underway from Quail Hollow. Jonathan Vegas is at 6-under. He is in the lead. Michael Torbjornsson is at 5-under. He's tied for second along with Aaron Rye. Max Homa also tied for second. He has just climbed up into the leaderboard. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My guy Kevin from Arlington, I love Kev, he said Joe B's the best, but need to concede the reality. The OV gold chase was a terrible distraction during the last quarter of the regular season. It became the team's mission, and they took their eyes off the real prize. They completely lost their offensive flow, and Protas, their best 5-on-5 scorer, was not the same after coming back from injury in the playoffs. It makes me nauseous, but it is what it is. Well, I mean, the Protas thing is different from the, you know, the emphasis on the Ovechkin goal chase. What I would say to that is, you know, it's something that Tommy said to me on the podcast at some point a few weeks ago when people were saying the Caps have kind of lost their focus. It's all been about Ovechkin's, you know, chasing down of Gretzky. You know, we're not talking about a Ripken consecutive game played streak where, you know, we're all focused on him just getting in the lineup to continue a consecutive. The goal that he was trying to achieve was something that aligns with something that's good with the team, for the team. Scoring goals. Like, scoring goals is the idea. So kind of like this idea that the focus on Ovechkin, if you want to say the media attention and the number of questions they had to ask after games and the focus on feeding Ovi the puck maybe. But look, one of the reasons the Caps ended up with the best record in the Eastern Conference is because Ovechkin finished third in the league in goals scored. Whether it was part of a chase or not, him scoring all those goals were a good thing, I would have thought. 44 goals in 65 games, tied for third in the league. Certainly got to be near the top of the list of reasons the Caps ended up with the best overall record. I think there's a big difference between we're focused on getting that, you know, this old man, you know, a sacred, you know, kind of record, and, you know, he shouldn't be out there, shouldn't really be playing, but this is the focus of the team and the org. No, that's not what it was. He was their best goal scorer. He was the third best goal scorer in the league this year at 39 years old. Scoring goals, whether it's part of a goal chase, all-time record chase or not, would seem to be a good thing. I understand there's nuance here, but that like, this is what really got them off their stride. There's a bit of a disconnect for me. I'm not suggesting I have the right answer here, but the record he was chasing was a record that basically led to him doing good things for the team, which enabled them to win 51 games in the regular season and end up with 111 points and the best record in the East. Without that chasing down of Gretzky, which nobody predicted would happen this year, the Caps would have had fewer wins. Am I right, Max, or wrong?
Caps fewer wins if they didn't play as well, you said?
No, you weren't listening to me. It's fine.
You're right, I wasn't.
You're working. You got your what's trending coming up, and we got, you know, Max is always multitasking.
It's true.
What I said was the idea that the focus on Ovechkin's, you know, record chase of Gretzky's overall number distracted the team. It's not the same as saying Cal Ripken's consecutive game played streak, like we're going to just get the old man in the game to to continue this chase towards a record. The record actually aligned with what was good for the team. His goal scoring is a big part of why the team won 51 games this year.
Absolutely. Especially because whenever Ovechkin's out there, he's always a threat. Like, even when he's like taking a defensive shift off and kind of sitting back behind the play or hiding along the boards, you always have to keep an eye on where he is. So he's always going to draw the defense over, especially. So he's going to give you a little bit more space on the other side of the ice. So yeah, absolutely. Ovechkin has been, he's always going to be a draw, even, no matter how old he is. Even at 40 years old, you still got to keep an eye out for that ripper of a shot from the top of the offense.
Yeah, Kevin just said, he said he was a big part of getting the one seed, but I watched every game and the team started standing around. We're puck watching and preoccupied with feeding their captain as he chased Gretzky, not their flowing 5-on-5 game that had them at the top of the league while Ovi was out 15 games with a broken leg. It's not hard to understand what I'm saying at all. Yeah, I understand there's some nuance there, and maybe they were standing around watching him. But ultimately, the goal scoring, this season for them with him in the lineup, scoring goals while simultaneously chasing down a record didn't hurt them over 82. Also, I would suggest, and maybe I'm wrong, that once you get to the postseason in this sport, the game's completely different anyway.
Yeah.
So however you were playing coming in to the playoffs, whatever was a distraction, it's like a completely different season and things happen. I mean, Winnipeg was the President's Trophy winning team this year. They were on an absolute, you know, roll at the end of the season. I think they won something like 10 out of their last 12 or 11 out of their last 14. And they're on the verge of being extinguished here in the second round. It's just, these playoffs, man, are just completely different, as are the NBA playoffs. I'll have something on Jokic and Murray forcing a Game 7 last night in Denver next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.